Two unrelated topics. The first one being the banning of pit bulls. So I think in the, I don't know if the last couple of months, if not the last year or the last couple of years, there've been like 3 to 5 children, particularly in the Free State, that have been mauled and killed by pit bulls. And there's just been this outcry in South Africa of banning pit bulls. And for people that may not know, there are probably over like 20 countries in the world that have actually banned the breeding of pit bulls. So people in South Africa, some people at least, are calling for the banning of pit bulls. And you can imagine after a child has been torn to shreds by this animal, how triggering it would be for people to be like, get rid of these animals. You know, get rid of them. They're dangerous. They kill. We've heard that they can harm people savagely. So get rid of them. But now there's two sides of the argument, of course. And I saw the EFF released a statement saying they're in support of the banning of pit bulls because they are dangerous animals, they harm people. On the other side, you get people that are saying the issue is not the pit bulls. The issue is actually the owners. There are owners that are not breeding these dogs properly. There are owners that are not securing these dogs properly. These dogs shouldn't be roaming freely anywhere. You know, these dogs should be in a secure space protecting a home, as an example. And they should be trained to know not to attack a child, not to attack someone who's what I guess we'd call innocent. And then some people are saying, look, if you're going to say pit bulls are a problem because they've killed children, what about the men and women that have killed children? Should all men and women should be banned? Should they be banned? What about all the car accidents that children have been involved in? Should we ban cars? So their argument is that, like, just because an isolated number of children had been killed or some people have been killed by pit bulls doesn't mean that all pit bulls should be removed. And the issue for them is it's not the pit bull that's the issue, it's the owner. And apparently there are a lot of owners, especially amakasi, these people that walk around with their pit bulls that they struggle to even hold. And they're saying those people should get a license. You should apply for a license to have a pit bull. It shouldn't be just for wonky wonk. Because they also say other dogs are also dangerous. And you're not saying let's ban all dogs, just this particular breed. For some people, they say because the police services suck, because there's such high crime, we need pit bulls. They keep our homes safe. If someone knows I have a pit bull in my home, they won't come and break in because they know what will happen. You know, a similar argument, I guess, could be made with a gun. Guns have killed people, but people argue it's not guns that kill people, it's people that kill people. So if there are bad people killing people with guns, don't ban guns. Make sure that there's just a strenuous way to get a gun license, of which we currently have one in place. I think it's just an interesting thought to have. I know one of the conversations I had with a friend was the idea that if you feel pit bulls are fine and safe, even though they are almost wild animals, is it fine for me to breed a lion? And then if my lion goes and it bites someone and kills someone, I'll be like, ugh, but it's an isolated incident. It's not like lions are killing people every day. You know, it's just this one incident. Take your lion to a dog park, and if the lion ends up killing other dogs, eating other dogs, I'll just say to the owners, oh, I'm not sure why he did that. You know, he doesn't normally do that. So uncharacteristic of him. No, don't run. You know, it's gonna get him excited. It's kind of unfair. You know, I live in the Emerentia, Greenside, Linden, Melville area, and there's the Johannesburg Botanical Gardens there, and a lot of the people walk their dogs there. And unfortunately, and this is mostly white people, which is very upsetting because it's mostly white people in the suburb that love talking about respecting the rules. The regulations don't allow, you know, the currents. No, but the rules don't allow. No, you must follow the rule of law. At the botanical gardens, there is a section for people to walk their dogs. And the rules are very clear on the boards there. None of the dogs are allowed to not be on a leash. That means every single dog should be on a leash. But people let their dogs run around. They go around biting other dogs. They go around and they jump up on other people that are walking there. And that's not allowed. As much as I know that you want to walk your dog and you know your dog needs to stretch his legs, the rules, they clearly state that a dog must be on a leash. Then there's a side of the botanical gardens where dogs are not allowed, whether on a leash or not. But people will still walk their dogs there, number one, and they walk their dogs there without a leash. And sometimes I feel like I wish I had like a pit bull or a lion. So I can walk around and let it roam around freely. And if it happens to snap your dog's neck, if it happens to bite one of you, I'll just be like, oh, sorry, he doesn't normally do that. Because it's actually very inconsiderate and disrespectful for the people that are there. You know, in our WhatsApp group, in our community WhatsApp group, it was one of the things I raised because when I took a walk there yesterday. I saw a gentleman almost being bitten by a dog. The white lady that was there didn't even apologize. Then I saw some black people that had two smaller dogs, black people that owned the dogs. And one of those dogs almost bits a small girl, small black girl. You know, again, they laugh, sorry. It's very triggering for someone like me. And I literally feel like taking a nopkiri and smashing the owner in the face. Of course, after smashing the dog, but it's not the dog's fault. You know, it's the owner's fault for bringing their dog into a space where there shouldn't be dogs and not putting their dog on a leash. So anyways, those are my thoughts around pit bulls. The second one is a conversation that I had around representation. South Africa, because of our history, is obsessed with race. The world generally is obsessed with race, but South Africa in particular, because we are a relatively newish democracy, 28 years. And because the last government, the apartheid government, the National Party, were fixated on race and the bulk of their policies were based on race, where you live, which jobs you can have, which schools and the type of education you can get, etc., etc. The government that has come in, the democratic government with the ANC, they've had to now focus on fixing some of these racial issues that we've had, of which they've done a dog shit job at it. If anything, they've kind of ring-fenced certain benefits meant for black people as a whole, and they've given it to just some of their friends. The ANC leaders, some of the other political parties, by the way, not just the ANC, some of them, if you look at their leadership, they have hundreds, if not thousands of hectares of land. They have shares in certain companies. Those shares were meant to be for mass black enjoyment, but they've just isolated them to a few people who have become multimillionaires, multi-billionaires. So they've done a dog shit job of that. So we fixated on representation, demographics. We speak about it in the Springboks, where we want more black and colored players. We speak about it in the economy with business. We need more black owners of shares, black owners of big business. We need more black executives, senior managers, etc. And then in other careers as well, engineers, chartered accountants, actuaries, doctors, we'd like to see more black people and more black females in particular. On Kosher Money, one of the conversations I was listening to was this Jewish rabbi who was speaking about representation. And he was saying, look, when people say Jewish people are rich and they have a lot of money, there is some merit to that. Because realistically, we are overrepresented as Jewish people when you look at the Fortune 500 companies, CEOs, senior managers, etc. If you look at the rich lists, Jews are overrepresented. By overrepresented, we're speaking demographics. It's just data and stats. There are 18 million registered Jews on the planet. 18 million. That's less than probably the number of Zulu people in Southern Africa, which is like one black tribe in Southern Africa. We're not speaking about all Africans, of which there's probably over a billion. We're not speaking about Chinese people, of which just in China, there's 1.3 billion. We're not speaking about Indians, of which there's over 1 billion Indian people just in India. We're not talking about Europeans and white people, of which there's probably over 1 billion of white European people around the world. Speak about just Jewish people, 18 million. And based on just that stat, they're saying, look, we're overrepresented by far in this data, you know, compared to other people. So he's like, we understand. But the reason Jewish people are like that is because for many centuries, generations, Jewish people have been very active in the money system. They have aggressively gone in to become bankers, aggressively gone in to set up banks, to do finance and loans. You know, we speak about Shylock, the Jew in Merchant of Venice. You know, they were doing the loaning at some point. Even the term bank comes from, I think it might be, I don't know if it's Italian or French, but it was a term for a bench. And these benches where these Jewish loans guys used to sit there and give loans to ship merchants who were traveling and needed resources to stock and whatever the case may be. So even the word bank comes from that bench. If you look in the South African context, for those of you that understand, there used to be lama tima that sits outside lama bank on chairs. And normally if you don't get a loan inside the bank, you'd go to lama tima and they'd give you a loan. There'd be loan sharks, but it's that type of situation. The other thing when you speak to Jewish people is they say we're very fixated on studying law. So there's an overrepresentation of Jewish lawyers. We obviously study finance and we study other things that have to do around the money system. That's why if you look at record labels, if you look at business ownership, a lot of it is Jewish people, even the media, because they understand business and finance and equity. They've spent a lot of time doing that. So they are overrepresented from a demographic perspective. But he says no one points out the issue of overrepresentation by African Americans in spaces like the NBA, the NFL, the entertainment industry. You know, if you look at the NBA, it's almost only black players. But you're not getting white Americans complaining and saying, no, but this is unfair. We need to put in policies to have white representation in the NBA. You're not looking at Latino people in America who are also a huge population saying, no, we are underrepresented in the NBA. We need policies so that there are more Latino players. Of course, the counter argument is opportunity, but there's an equal opportunity in America and it's the most talented people. But the same could be argued even about business. Outside of slavery, which happened hundreds of years ago in America, outside of slavery and those type of spaces, any black child can go and study law, can go and study business, can go and trade and become an entrepreneur in America. You can speak out racism and those nuances, but it happens everywhere. Like in South Africa, the taxi industry is largely Zulu. So that's tribalist. So someone might be like, yeah, but the Zulus dominate. That's not race, it's tribe, but it's one of those things. Rugby in South Africa is dominated by Afrikaans people and not English people. So white English people might be like, yeah, but the Afrikaans selectors won't select me. So those are nuances, but generally there's an equal opportunity. And obviously, if your family's been tall, big, and they've been athletic for long, that's why it's easy for them to be these super athletes. Similarly, if you are white and your family's been in business or your family's been playing the sport of rugby, it's only going to hold that it's going to be easier for you. So it was just a thought that I was thinking about, that we need to think about this thing of representation and whether demographics are really, really the right measure of seeing that certain people should be in certain spaces. Of course, if people were kept out because of race, gender, they were kept out because of nationality, because of tribe, we need to create an equal opportunity. But it doesn't happen with artificially placing people there. Let's just put random black people in the Springboks. And then what will happen to the Springboks? We see it in the economy today. If you look at the guys that were given BE shares, those were not merit-based. That's why they haven't built any great businesses, those guys. They were just loser people that happened to be politically affiliated and they were given shares. You know, if you look at someone like Usia Kolisi, Lukanyo Am, Magazole Mapimpi, Cheslin Kolbe, those guys in the Springboks, merit. Given an equal opportunity, they big, they strong, they fast. They are some of the best players in the world. Lukanyo Am in particular, Cheslin Kolbe in particular, some of the best players in the world. So we just need to relook that. And we need to also start moving away from just having money as the only measure of success and worth in the world. There are so many other measures of success. Money is the most popular one in the modern world, of course, but there's health. Imagine if we had like a wealth index that is not just money-based. So there's like a rich list who made the most money this year, according to Forbes or Bloomberg, but who's the healthiest this year? Who's run the most marathons? Who's lifted the most weights? You know, things like CrossFit, Ironman challenge, people that have run marathons, do something for like looks. We've obviously got the most beautiful women, the most good looking man. Have those as a wealth list. These are the most good looking people. Do some others, you know, most well-traveled people as well. And then do like a matrix. Have a wealth list of who happens to be good looking, in great health, athletic, making a lot of money, has traveled. And then you'd be like, actually, when it comes to this matrix of indices, this is actually the most successful. So Elon Musk might be the wealthiest man in terms of money, but he may not be the most good looking and rich. He may not be the most good looking, rich, famous, athletic. So maybe there might be someone like, just off the top of my head, someone like a Will Smith. Good looking, athletic, he's done all these movies, he's traveled. So you're like, actually, from a male perspective, Will Smith is the guy. If you look at like Usain Bolt as a super athlete, he can run, he can play soccer, etc., etc. How much money does he have? He might be in the top 50, top 100 most dynamic individuals. And I think that will open our minds to not just measuring wealth just in money, but in other dynamics around the world. Pin you all the black pen. Have a great day. Cheers.